Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring stimulating in-depth interviews with special guests from all areas of the arts. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative, exploring whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the topic hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street about a wide variety of different subjects that affect everybody, both locally and globally. And for this, the arts hour, I interview local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And I combine a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways we engage with the world. I've been out and about covering the 2017 Cinequest Film Festival in Silicon Valley for the arts part of my show. And this week I'm talking to some of the extremely talented filmmakers and actors. First, I'm featuring the film The Sounding, which had its world premiere at Cinequest. The Sounding is deeply affecting because it speaks to one of our core human needs, to be seen and accepted as our true selves. It tells the story of Liv, who, having remained silent for years, starts to speak using only the text of Shakespeare as her language. Fully functioning in every other way and self-supporting, she's nevertheless committed to an institution by a well-meaning psychiatrist when her grandfather dies. And the story concerns her battle to be allowed to meet the world in the way she wishes, however unconventional. It's a very original film and to me was a really perfect piece of art. Across the board, the acting, the story, the cinematography all comes together to create an incredibly moving experience that resonates at the deepest parts of our being and explores the parameters of how we relate and connect as human beings. It looks at the power differentials in life and how difference is often marginalized and repressed, if not out and out subjugated. At times, I found it quite uncomfortable watching the film, especially as a woman, because of the history of the suppression of women and their right to live in the world on their own terms rather than those dictated by men. But every moment of the film was weighed so perfectly and beautifully from an artistic perspective that I was still carried away on a wave of curiosity and hope through the story to its life-affirming end. And at the world premiere red carpet, I was fortunate to talk to Catherine Eaton, who wrote, directed and starred in The Sounding, and also to lead actors Teddy Sears and Harris Yulin. Harris Yulin is a highly regarded actor whose first prominent film appearance was in 1971, playing Wyatt Earp in the film Doc with the actor Stacey Keach. Harris has appeared in over 100 film and television series projects such as Scarface, Ghostbusters 2, Clear and Present Danger, Oppenheimer Strategies, Training Day and Frasier, which earned him a Primetime Emmy Award nomination. Harris also has a formidable resume in classical theatre, particularly in Shakespeare, and is an award-winning New York stage director. Teddy Sears, one of the other lead actors, is an accomplished actor known for his roles as Richard Patrick Woolsey on the TNT legal drama series Raising the Bar. Patrick on the first season of the FX anthology horror drama American Horror Story, and as Dr. Austin Langham on the popular Showtime period drama series Masters of Sex about Masters and Johnson. And he also played Hunter Solomon Zoom in The Flash. Catherine Eaton, as an actor, has performed on Broadway, across the country and on screen. She has a BA from Cornell and MFA from the University of Minnesota Guthrie. She's lectured on directing at Harvard and is on the leadership team of Film Fatale. She's developing two original series for television, both finalists for the Sundance Labs, and her pilot, On the Outs, has been awarded the Tribeca Enterprises Through Her Lens 2016 award. She's also an Emmy Award-winning producer. So I considered myself very lucky to be talking to these three very creative people, all of whom involved with this wonderful film, The Sounding. And I talked to Catherine, Teddy and Harris in the foyer of the iconic California Theatre in San Jose, California, prior to the world premiere of The Sounding. So let's hear some of my conversation with them. I'm here at the Cinequest red carpet for the world premiere of The Sounding, and I'm with Catherine Eaton, who is the director, Teddy Sears, who is one of the actors, and Harris Yulin, who also is in The Sounding. So first, Catherine, can you tell me what attracted you to this project and maybe a bit about the story?
Sure, yeah. I co-wrote it, so the idea of it came from a play that I had written that I was performing all over the place, and it was a one-woman show about the main character, and we did it in a crazy space on 47th and Lexington that's glassed in New York City, and the sound is piped out onto the street, and an extraordinary man came every single night and saw it, and at the end of that run he asked me if I would like to turn it into a feature film. So it's a little bit of a Cinderella story, but and the story behind the film is it's about a woman who is silent most of her life, and she's raised on an island off the coast of Maine by her grandfather Lionel, who's played by Harris Yulin, who reads to her voraciously from Emerson and Foucault and Shakespeare, and one day he's reading to her and he loses his voice because he's dying, and she picks up the book of Shakespeare and begins to read to him as a gift to him on his deathbed, and realizes she can weave a language out of Shakespeare's words, so she takes on this acquired language. And meanwhile, he has brought out this protege of his, played by Teddy Sears, to protect her independence when he's gone, and that protege, Michael, finds her speaking and thinks that it's a cry for help, and so the rest of the film is her fight to speak the language she chooses and his desire to try to help her.
Oh, sounds fascinating. So, Harris, can you tell us a bit about your character?
Well, he's a retired man of, he was a researcher and a psychiatrist and working in that field. He gained quite a bit of notoriety and fame for his work. And when his granddaughter decided not to speak at the age of what?
Four, I think we say.
Four, five. He proceeded to have her tested in all the conventional ways you would test somebody to find out what was wrong. And kind of finds out, in a sense, that nothing's wrong. She just prefers not to speak. Like Bartleby the Scrivener prefers not to. And that's his reason. He prefers not to. And that's her reason. She prefers not to. And he comes to the conclusion that, okay, she prefers not to, so that's the way it's going to be.
Right. Teddy, what about your character?
I play this young protege, really, to Harris's character, someone in his field. I think it was probably a mentor, mentee, but protege is probably the closer word. And I'm called upon by Harris's character to come out to the island house where he and his granddaughter live. And the reason becomes clear very early on why I was called upon. I'm just not sure how much I can say without giving it all away, but essentially Michael, the character I play, finds himself attempting to understand the very basic level, figure out, unpack, know this very intriguing, fascinating, mysterious woman named Liv. There's a pivotal sort of moment in the film where Michael makes a decision that the audience has found itself sort of evenly split about how they feel about it. But ultimately, the second half of the film is an attempt for these two characters to sort of make their way towards each other, Michael and Liv, and to...
tell the ending.
Yes, exactly. And dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Go see the film. What do you think are the advantages, Catherine, of telling such a story in a fictional way rather than, say, a documentary format? What attracts you to fiction?
In general?
In your filmmaking?
Sure. I am very interested in the power of the imagination, so I think there's something really extraordinary in that field. I think that, this story came out of a lot of different kind of creative impulses for me. So it wasn't something where I was first curious about neurology or neuroscience and then this happened. It was kind of the other way around. The character was born and then I did a ton of research in the real field to be able to make sure she could exist, a condition like this might happen, how they would diagnose her. I think that I love documentary filmmaking as well, to be honest. I don't prefer one over the other, but as a filmmaker, I think I'm very interested in that we can create narratives in the world and that those narratives come out of what we think is possible, not necessarily what is possible, and that that gives us the future as a sort of society. It gives us an image of what we could become or the questions we might ask ourselves and the conversations we might want to have. So I suppose that's the reason I'm drawn to it. But also just imagination in general, I think, is really powerful and really valuable.
Yeah. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my arts guests this week, Harris Yulin, Teddy Sears, and Catherine Eaton, from the film The Sounding, which had its world premiere at the Cinequest Film Festival. And The Sounding is currently being screened at film festivals across the country. If you'd like to follow the film and find out more information on when you might be able to see it in theatres in the future, you can go to the website, thesoundingfilm.com, and that's thesoundingfilm.com. And you can also follow it on Facebook at The Sounding Film. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation from Harris, Teddy, and Catherine after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Bookshop Santa Cruz is celebrating 50 years of independent bookselling in the community that we love. Visit Bookshop Santa Cruz downtown and join in the festivities as we celebrate our customers and the books that make it all possible. Bookshop Santa Cruz, celebrating an amazing 50 years in downtown Santa Cruz.
It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. This week I'm featuring the film The Sounding, an incredibly moving film about the quest to be who we really are, which had its world premiere recently at the Cinequest Film Festival. And before the break, we heard from lead actor, director and writer of The Sounding, Catherine Eaton, and also lead actors Harris Yulin and Teddy Sears. And I was fortunate to talk to them at Cinequest in the foyer of the iconic California Theatre. I was saying before the break, if you want to follow the film, you can go to the website, thesoundingfilm.com, and also follow it on Facebook at The Sounding Film. I will also put up a podcast page with this show and put links there and photos from the film and other information. So if you want to check out that, you can go to itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, let's hear the rest of my conversation with Harris, Teddy and Catherine now. Harris, you've had a long and diverse career on stage and screen. Your life has been immersed in the arts. I'm wondering, can you remember the first experience of art of any kind, whether it was a film or a book or a picture, where you first felt the power of art to touch us rather than just entertain us?
Yeah, I can remember a lot of them. I think the very powerful experience was seeing Oklahoma and then Guys and Dolls. I had an uncle who managed a burlesque theater, and he used to take me to these shows. He didn't take me to the burlesque because I was 10, okay. But I wanted to go.
Of course you did.
And those periods, and I was just talking to some friends about seeing the Grand Kabuki when I was about 22, and that was really
amazing,
mesmerizing and pivotal and seminal experience for me. And the Grand Kabuki actor called Yutaman the 17th, who I met backstage because I had a Japanese girlfriend, and he had a long conversation with her. And afterward, we left. I said, so what did he say? It was all in Japanese. And she said, well, he was asking me out, but doing it
in, in front of you.
Kind to get me to ditch you and meet him. Right.
Well, that's the kind of thing that sticks in your mind.
Yeah.
What about you, Teddy? Could you think back to when you first had that sense of, you know, how art can really move us?
It's funny. I'm listening to Harris tell his story, and I'm trying to cycle through my own experiences. And I remember being taken to see the Dance Theater of Harlem by my grandmother when they came to the Washington, D.C. area, which is where I grew up. And it didn't register. And then my parents taking us to see the Kennedy Center Orchestra doing Peter and the Wolf, and it didn't register. And then I remember reading in my early 20s, Angels in America, and it was like a punch to the face. And I remember I had to tell that story. I think I just sort of woke up. I don't know how else to say it. And I imagine there must have been something earlier, but if there's not, there's maybe a reason I'm not remembering, because I remember reading Angels in America in New York City as a 23-year-old. taking a class with, I was just sort of kicking around, you know, acting. I hadn't really committed yet, and it was Austin Pendleton had a class, and he handed me Angels in America, and I just remember being floored. It came to me late, but it also came to me right on time, I think, for where I was in my life. Though I wish I had an uncle who took me to burlesque shows. I don't know. But I consider myself lucky. So do I. I consider myself lucky that the lightning bolt struck at all, you know, because here we are. And it's just such a, it's an amazing thing to be in this community. And all I ever wanted to do once I was struck by that lightning bolt, all I wanted to do was be a part of it, and to be a part of a community that tells stories. It was just such a wonderfully weird band of gypsy sort of mentality that I always wanted to be a part of, and here we are. Yeah.
What about you, Catherine?
A seminal moment.
Just when you first realized that art can really affect us rather than just entertain, if there was such a moment.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I almost always experience it, but trying to think back to the first time, it's tough.
It's kind of a putting you on the spot question.
Well, no, I think it was maybe actually, I think it was that I was transformed through doing a show, as a young person doing a show that was probably a nonsense show, but I was really, really shy growing up, and I was Mickey Mouse in this arithmetic show, and I was the one that called out the numbers. Uh-huh. And I remember, I was given the role because I was a good student, and they knew that I wouldn't
mess it up.
Flake on it, you know? But I remember standing up there and feeling a sense of being outside of myself or free in a way that I maybe didn't experience on a daily basis. And there was something really exciting and very curious to me. It was like someone had given me a window into what it looks like underwater or what it looks like in space. It was sort of this other time zone or this other kind of feeling. And I was just a little kid, but I remember feeling that really profoundly, and I fell in love with it, with the idea of theater and art and audience and things like that then, but I didn't know that I would go on to do it, of course. I mean, I was just a child.
Yeah.
But I remember feeling changed because I wasn't shy on stage, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. So, Harris, you've played some quite different roles in your career. I'm wondering how you go about embodying a character, what your process is, for instance, in the sounding when you approached this character, how you get into it.
Oh, different ways. Whatever happens to seem interesting at the moment. Sometime with a historical character, I start reading about the person. If I'm playing, you know, George Marshall or Freud or whoever, and start reading their writing. Or, you know, if I'm doing this, I might read something about. And then sometime I might do essentially nothing except absorb the script in, you know, my way, like everybody does in their own way, and feed it through their own sensibility and find out what it's about for themselves, for oneself.
Yeah.
You know?
I also wanted to ask you, Hollywood's very competitive, it's hard to succeed, and when you are successful, that brings other challenges. You've had a very long career. How have you kept your sense of yourself and what you want from life in such a challenging environment, and not sort of get lost in all the PR or whatever? Assuming that you have done that.
Well, I don't think I've ever had the, you know, situation where the PR people have been after me to such an extent that it warped my, you know,
sense of self.
Yeah, the sense of anything. So I think, you know, acting, directing, that kind of life is kind of a passageway to the self.
Yeah.
And so, because you've got to make those connections mm-hmm. with yourself, otherwise it's not going to be interesting or useful.
Yes.
So you're always in a kind of dialogue with yourself, as it were, sort of, you know.
Yeah.
So you one wouldn't necessarily lose oneself unless you get involved in all the stuff that, you know, the pitfalls of whatever, fame or, you know, Hollywood nonsense. Or what? Not that Hollywood is nonsense, but you know what I mean, what you're talking about. But I don't have that problem.
That's interesting, I think, comment. If you're approaching it from a really artistic perspective, then you're probably less likely to get caught up in that.
Yes, they approach it that way, but, you know, it's, there are traps all around, and people can get confused and, you know, take the, maybe open the wrong door and say, oh, this is... The devil hath power to assume a pleasing shape. So maybe I'll follow this path for a while.
Just a final question. I'm very interested in the possibility of art helping people process difficult issues. I'm wondering what your thoughts might be on whether art can be healing in any way.
Chime in,
I was just going to say, I don't even think that's a question. I mean, not that it isn't a good one, but I think it's... perhaps I'm biased, but it is a given. I think that it is a huge... I mean, I think the stories we tell ourselves from that perspective, that part of art, storytelling, any kind of storytelling, and I think that can be found in a frame or a sculpture as much as it can be found in a film. Narrative is what helps us shape our identities, and in that way, if we're able to see something we recognize or something that we want to know that we've never known before, suddenly paradigms shift and things can heal and things can open, doors can open. It's like Harris was saying, it's a pathway. Creating is a pathway back to yourself, but so is being a party to it. So is being an audience member or a witness to it. So I think, I think it's a given.
What about you?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been reading something, I've been watching something, and there a particular line, a particular point of view, a particular image just strikes me. And art therapy is a very burgeoning, growing field. But just in one's day-to-day, one's exposure to great works of art, minor works of art, just the very nature of observing art, you know, I don't know, allows us to observe aspects of ourselves. And if you're open to it or you're... receptive. You never know where that inspiration, or that little nudge in one direction or the other, is going to strike. And I think that's one of the great things about being in the field we're in. Is if you consume art, I think that as much as we all do, in its various forms, you can't help but be shaped by it and have it inform your sort of very, very being. And of course, if you're ever in a jam. Hurting, needing inspiration or guidance, look no further than the great works of art, paintings, sculptures, books, films. Invariably, there will be some bit of inspiration or guidance in there if you just remain open to it. I firmly believe that. Yeah.
Did you want to say anything on that, Harris? On the power of art to heal, or do you feel they've covered it?
You know, it's changed my life about 500,000 times. So, I believe in it. I think maybe we should not cut the funding. And I think the colossal ignorance of those who think we should is destructive, not only to our natures, but to our country and to our sensibilities and to our children. And I wish they'd wise up.
Very good point. Thank you very much, all of you. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin. And thank you so much again to my guests from the film The Sounding, Harris Yulin, Teddy Sears, and Catherine Eaton. And as I said earlier, The Sounding is a really original film which is deeply affecting and speaks to one of our core human needs to be seen and accepted as our true selves. And it's currently being screened at film festivals. And if you'd like to follow the film and find out more information about it, you can go to the website thesoundingfilm.com. And you can also follow it on Facebook at The Sounding Film. And of course, as usual, I will podcast the show, and so you can find information on links and photos and bios of the guests and everything on my website, itsaquestionofbalance.com.